It is the Locked On Bengals podcast with your hosts Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco. Find us on Twitter at Joe Goodberry and at Jake_NFL. Please like, subscribe, and share as we try to grow this community and pump out daily Bengals content just for you. Welcome to the Locked On Bengals podcast. It is your host, Joe Goodberry. We have no Jake Lisco today. Jake and I had some scheduling conflicts this weekend. Basically, I'm on midnights this weekend at my job, and he's working day shift. So we figured he'll take the previous day, Sunday night, Monday, depending on when you listen to the podcast, and I'll take Monday/Tuesday. So that's how we're splitting it up this week, and we'll be back together for the following 3 days, and that's cool. So you get a little bit of me, just Joe Goodberry in your ear today, and it'll be a little less professional, I think, because Jake's the one that keeps us together, keeps this duo together. He's the one that keeps us organized and does the ads mostly and makes the podcast sound good and all of that fun stuff. So if you didn't check out yesterday's episode, Jake had on Evan Silva of Roto World, who... Evan's a guy I've communicated with and talked with for a long time, so I'm glad he was on. I'm sad I missed it, that I wasn't able to be there and talk to him, because I have high level of respect for Evan. I mean, to cover all 32 teams the way he does, that's not easy. Very often we can criticize national guys for not really knowing your team that well. You know, if you ever read anything on NFL, ESPN, any of the big sites that aren't completely focused on the Bengals, let's say, they'll miss things. They'll get things wrong. I mean, I'm reading previews of the Bengals and expectations for the league, and there'll be people that don't mention Tyler Eifert. They don't mention Giovanni Bernard. They won't mention Carl Lawson. And, you know, I think those are just big mistakes when you're a Bengals fan and you're looking at this team, and there's national people that just forget the impact of some players that are going to make an impact. And Evan Silva does a great job covering everyone. And I talk to him often. He talks to me, and we hash out ideas a lot in between each other, especially when it comes to the Bengals. And I've always got high respect for him. So check out that podcast if you haven't. It started because Evan, we talked about this on last week's episode. Evan put out a tweet that caught some fire because he says the Bengals don't get criticized for not trying to win, or actively deprioritizing winning. So check that out. I still have to finish listening to it. I don't get much time to listen to podcasts, as we've said before, but you know, I basically have like a 6-7 minute ride to work, so that's my time to listen. And sometimes it takes me a full week if especially if I'm busy at work and I don't get to listen, because about 4 miles away, so easy ride. But just me today. So I was outside cutting the grass, and it was a nice day out, and I said, you know what, the battery on the lawnmower died because I have an electric lawnmower, and why not, I have a small yard. But I said that now was a good time to come in and record and just talk to you guys, just you and I, because some people had some questions that come up on Thursdays, and it's, I think, like long-form questions. Sometimes they're directed right at me, and I don't know how to answer them sometimes without rambling on, and I don't like to do that when Jake's there, because, you know, I want to make sure he gets enough airtime to say what he's feeling or what his thoughts are. So I think the one that caught my attention was a couple weeks ago, and I failed to remember the tweet because I couldn't find it. It went that far back, but it asked, what's your process for watching film? What's your process for evaluating players? And I think it was directed at me, because Jake will say himself that he's not an evaluator, you'll see it when the season starts. Jake will definitely be into it, but he looks at it differently than I do, and I think everyone does. I think that's where it comes from, right? How do you evaluate film? How do you evaluate players? How do you quantify it if you do? And so that's where I want to go today and talk about that and talk about how I go about it. And if you are a subscriber to The Athletic, you have seen my work there, and I try to give a glimpse into what I'm doing then, because there are lot of different ways to present it. And I do a lot of videos to try and show my work. I think that's honestly the best way to do it. I'd love to just do videos and video reviews, but the NFL is very strict on video usage. So I still, obviously, follow me on Twitter. I still put out videos constantly. And that's one of the things I've been doing lately. Talk about part of my process is I am going and reviewing some film from 2018. It's hard to go back and do it, especially in a lost year or when the regime has changed so much, when the coaching staff's changed. And I feel like some of the players and their uses will definitely change. But I'm going back, and if you have the NFL Game Pass, which gives you the All-22 subscription, people ask all the time, where do you get to coach the film? And it's NFL/Game Pass or NFLGamePass.com, one of the two. Type it in Google, it'll come up. But I'm going through, and I'm just typing in the players' names. I believe I start off with Joe Mixon. And you can pick, do you want incomplete passes, complete passes? Do you want touchdowns? Do you want fumbles? Whatever you want to pick for a play, it'll tell you all the times he was involved in those plays. So I type in Joe Mixon, big plays. And this is just to review. This is isn't how I would normally watch. I wouldn't watch highlights on a player. But the big plays just refresh my memory. I think in the offseason, that's what I'm looking for. It's been, at this point, 6 months since I've seen some of these games. And while they're fresh in my memory at the time, it's nice to jog them. And so I get big plays, and Joe Mixon was, I think, second in the league for 20-plus yard runs. So those all pop up, right, and all of his touchdowns and any fourth down conversions. Those are considered big plays by their algorithm. So I went through that, and I recorded all of his 20-plus yard runs. And I made a video of it, and I posted it, and people loved it. And so I continue to do more stuff like that, reviewing other players. Since then, I've gone through, and I believe it was Tyler Boyd, John Ross, Tyler Eifert, Giovanni Bernard, and Jesse Bates. And I didn't do Andy Dalton. Someone asked, are you going to do Dalton? And I look back because I remember I had a video after about, I think it was 5 or 6 weeks. It must have been 5 weeks because I think Dolphins were week 5. Anyways, I did a video of his 5 best throws, best plays from 2018, around that time. And when I started to cut up a video of a review at this point today, and I looked back and I said, no, you know what, I should just retweet that video because I posted it last year, and really there was maybe 1 or 2 throws I would have added on top, but I think his 5 best plays still came in those first 5 weeks. And Jake and I have talked about it a bunch. We think at that time he was playing as good as he's ever played in the NFL. And things started to, the wheels started to fall off as Tyler Eifert and others began to get hurt. Joe Mixon also in that time frame. He was out for the Panthers game, and Dalton still had a couple of really nice throws. But anyway, so I didn't remake a Dalton video. And in fact, I was going through some of the comments on there, and some people were like, I think some of these throws are some of the best of his career. And I would agree there's maybe like 3 or 4 of them that'd be in his top 10 career throws. And that should give you a positive thought going forward about how this, you know, maybe could say he's playing the best of his career. And if the offense fits him, he should have a really good year. Now, we thought that after 2015 and 2016 was not a good year. So it doesn't have to mean it's a linear progression. He could take some steps back. Anyways. My thought today is to talk about what I'm currently evaluating, what I'm currently looking at, what I'm planning on writing for The Athletic. If you've noticed, I haven't written as much lately. It's because I got a new contract this year in February that had different requirements, different posting times, and basically I'm not going to be as frequent over the off season, and it'll really ramp up again once the season starts, and that's just to maximize viewership and subscribers. When I post, it usually brings in viewers and subscribers, and they want that during this regular season because that's when I was getting the most outside of draft weekend, obviously. But so currently what I'm writing and what I'm working on, and it's something that I've taken a while because I didn't post it all in May, but I'm reading a book, and it's from Taylor Colst, I think is his name, but it's called Breaking Down the Rams 2018 Offense. And it's perfect because it's exactly what we want, and especially now because we have a very good idea that the Bengals are going to be running a Rams-style offense in Cincinnati. And I think that's what we want, right? I mean, that's why you hire Zach Taylor. That's why you say he's the guy for us despite his experience and age and every other criticism that can come with it, whether that's be, just because he knows Sean McVay. Well, that's the idea. And so I'm not critical of them for that. I think that's the right idea, and that's how you find the next guys, by doing exactly this. So I'm reading this book, and right now I'm in a pretty long chapter. It's a really good book. Great. It details the frequency in which the Rams use certain personnel, which they use specific plays. It breaks down the plays, the responsibilities, what makes those plays different than the ones you'll see around the league. So I'm really enjoying it. And what I'm doing right now is reading the running game section. And it's mostly about the outside zone, because that's what the Rams run, and how it's different, what Todd Gurley has to do. And I'm trying to place that in with Joe Mixon. And so that's what I'll talk about. That's what I'll do. And I think that can fill up 10, 15 minutes easily, because I'm writing it, but you know, saying it out loud is going to help me finish writing it. So if you're not an Athletic subscriber, you'll be able to get the good preview. I think this will be part one of a 3 series, which would be the running game, the play action game, and then the passing game. It's going to be 3 or 4 plays that I guarantee you'll see from the Bengals this year. And so that's where I'm at right now. And before we get there, I just want to mention that if you want to help the podcast out, you just want to do us a favor, you enjoy the podcast, easiest and free thing you can do is just go to grip6.com and check out the belts. Just click around a few pages. If you do that, they'll know we sent you, especially if you go to grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E. There's a promo code there. I think it's 20% off, plus there's deals on other things. But just go and click around the website. Free, it'll take you 30 seconds, and if maybe you like something, maybe you don't, but it'll help out the podcast. It'll also help if you go to book your vacation from hotels.com. They're a sponsor of the podcast right now. And if you have a vacation lined up this summer or fall or even winter, we've got one. My wife just started booking our Disney trip for this year. We go maybe every other year. 3 kids, they're young. They still think it's real. So it's now's the time to go while they're still young. My wife handles all that. So hotels.com for those needs, and stick with us. Guys, let's talk about sex. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up as twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Let me tell you, we get free samples, and if you think Marshawn Lynch has a good stiff arm, you've seen nothing yet. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Bengals podcast. Now, welcome back to the Locked On Bengals podcast. And I'm picking up where I left off. So what I'm reading in this book by Taylor Kolst, breaking down the 2018 Rams offense, it's got a lot of good information in here. So number one, something we expected. Actually, I expected the number to be a little bit higher. But he breaks down the personnel usage for the Rams. So 11 personnel, 1 running back, 1 tight end. This is what we should expect the Bengals to look like most of the time. Some sites even say 90% for the Rams. But I think this includes if you detach a tight end and put them out wide, and then that's basically could be considered an 11 personnel, even though you have 2 tight ends on the field. Anyways, Taylor has them at 77% usage. So their offense, 77% of the time, is 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 running back. I think that makes a lot of sense for this Bengals offense. 18% of the time is 12 personnel. So if you say the Bengals are going to be more of a 2 tight end offense, that would be incorrect if they're going to be a Rams offense, and everything sounds like they are. So we shouldn't even debate that anymore. 12 personnel, 1 running back, 2 tight ends. That leaves you with 2 wide receivers. That is 18% of the time. And then how many do they go big, heavy? 3 tight ends, 1 running back. That is 5% of the time. So that's not very often. That's got to be short yardage or specific situations. Makes sense to me. But he starts off right away with breaking down their use of the run game and how often they're going outside zone. They're an outside zone heavy team. He breaks down how often they do that in the run plays. 241 plays were outside zone, and they ran it about a little bit less than 400. So it's a large percentage of their runs are going to be that. And he's got duo at 73 times, inside zone 70 times, fly sweep, which as we talked about, jet sweep, fly sweep, be the same thing, will be the receiver coming in motion. You give it to him 46 times. So then they got toss sweep, 23, outside zone, 18, which, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say outside zone. He kind of differentiates the difference between running a traditional outside zone and a Rams outside zone. So you can forget that part because I'm not going to get too... I'll get into why it's different, but it's largely the same thing. And he's got traps and whams and yada yada. So anyways, where he starts off with, and I think it's very important, and it's where I'm going to start off with when I write about this. I'm actually going to be ripping a lot of this from Taylor, and I don't know if that's right now that I said that out loud, but he really lays this down right, and I'm going to say why it fits the Bengals and how it fits the Bengals. But the fly sweep, the jet sweep for the wide receivers, is an integral part of their offense. Even though they don't hand it to that guy every time, it said 46, I think it was, 46 times they hand it to the receiver coming in motion all year, they used it over 120 times all year. So they showed it a bunch. I mean, a third of their plays are going to have a receiver coming in motion and taking a fake handoff in the Bengals offense. So it's definitely something to look for. Now, what I'm doing specifically is looking at Joe Mixon in the run game. And I'm going to show those jet sweeps also and how they use it with Brandon Cooks. They use it with Robert Woods. I think we'll see Tyler Boyd and probably largely John Ross in that role. So I will show one of those plays when I do the write-up. But the thing I really wanted to diagram and talk about is their difference in outside zone running. And when I say outside zone, first of all, as it sounds, you're running starting to the outside. You're stretching either left or right, almost aiming at the tackle, depending on what side you're going if you're running the ball. Zone is basically you have a spot and you're going to block that man rather than directly taking a gap or a guy and trying to move him. So I'll explain a little bit more. The difference in the Rams outside zone versus a traditional outside zone is, let's say we're running to the left. So we got left tackle there. It's going to be Jonah Williams this year. Traditionally, you want that left tackle to, and really everyone on the left side, to reach block. So they're going to get to the guy that's on their outside left shoulder. Remember, running to the left. So for Jonah Williams, it'd be the defensive end, the right defensive end on his side. You would traditionally want him to get out, get around that guy, and seal him off so the running back can run behind you towards the boundary. You follow me on that? What the Rams do instead, now this is Andrew Whitworth too, this is why I think Whitworth has really succeeded with this Rams offense. Instead of getting him out there and moving, well, he can still move pretty good. He's definitely older, as we know. Instead of having him do that and failing a lot of times, you have that tackle push and move that defensive end out of the way. So you're really not trying to get outside of that tackle as much for the running back. You're not trying to bounce it outside because he's going to push that defensive end that way. So you're going to cut up his back if you can. So the reads for the running back are now different. Traditionally, the running back will read that tackle. So Joe Mixon, as he gets the handoff, is going to look at the left tackle and say, okay, is he winning on this block on that defensive end? If the defensive end, so remember, we're running. Look at, you have the ball. You look at Jonah Williams. Does that defensive end have his vision but the defensive end's head is toward the boundary? If that's the case, that is not a successful reach block, and he's not going to be able to seal him from the edge. You cannot go towards the outside as a running back. So now you take your next read, and it's going to be on the three tech here. And the Rams run to the weak side a lot, so I'm going to say this is the three tech. And it's going to be the left guard and center both combo blocking on that three tech. And now you're going to read him. Does he have his head on the outside of the guard, the left guard? If he does, you go back to the next one now, the nose tackle. And if his head is on the, again, towards the left side of the field, you're going to cut back all the way against the grain. So you have three reads. Bing, 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 bing. It's got to happen within like a half second. That's why you'll hear coaches slow to the hole, fast through the hole for running backs, because you have to take your time and make these reads correctly. And when you see it, because you may have a third of a second to actually say, okay, his head's on the inside, I can go, cut through there. If you don't have that, it slows you down a lot if you're not a good reader as a running back. So that's the traditional way to do it. How the Rams do it is a little bit different. It speeds up the process completely. They don't ask Andrew Whitworth or Jonah Williams to reach block that guy, and they want him to push him out of there instead. So you're not reading that guy to start with. So now Joe Mixon is not reading Jonah Williams. He's expecting him to push him out of the play. He's not trying to get to the boundary and to the outside. Instead, his first read is going to be the three tech. And he's going to be reading Cordy Glenn and Billy Price handling whatever defensive tackle that is. So it kind of makes sense now why they would prefer to have Cordy Glenn at that guard spot rather than Clint Bowling, because you need him to get this push and this drive, and he needs to be able to succeed often. So his first read now is going to be that three tech, and if that three tech's not winning, he's gonna shift to the nose tackle. And right there, it's like, okay, so you got one. Am I going to cut up between Jonah Williams and Cordy Glenn? No. Am I going to cut up between Billy Price and Cordy Glenn? No. Okay, cut back lane. So it's 1-2-3. It's really 1-2, and I'm going to cut it back against the grain all the way on the right side. And that's why Todd Gurley is so effective, because the reads are quicker. They're more definitive. It takes one of them out completely. You see a lot of times with Joe Mixon, and I think we saw this with Jeremy Hill too. Jeremy Hill had slow eyes when it came to reading, and I think that's why the zone running did not work for him, and he needed to follow a fullback. Because when you have to read three tackle, or I should say end, three tech, nose tackle, cut back, all right, now I can cut back. It takes a long time to get there. And if the line's not good, you're not going to have that much time. So you're going to have to skip one of those reads or feel it or guess sometimes as a running back. But in the Rams offense, you cut out one of those reads. So even if the O-line isn't winning completely on this play, you're 1-2, go. Or it could be 1-go, 2-go. And you know, you get the picture there, right? So it's much faster, and it'll help Joe Mixon out a lot. So I'm now go back, and I'm watching a lot of Joe Mixon tape. I have the idea of what they're looking for, what they're asking for, what they want him to do. So I go back and I watch, and I'm watching games of Joe Mixon, some of his best games, some of his worst games, and just seeing how he handles it and how he would fit in this offense. And I think it's going to be an amazing fit. Honestly, I've talked about this before. I had the inclination. I had some film backing on this, but now that I can actually go and understand the playbook, and this is something I read a few months ago, that's why I felt so good about it. But now that I'm putting it together and I'm watching the tape, I'm like, yeah, Mixon's great at this. He's going to be perfect at this. And the times he wasn't able to cut it back on that third read, that's not going to be an issue anymore. It's going to be 1-2 cut back. And he's so good at that. And his lateral agility for such a big guy, and how quickly he gets up to speed. And I think his decision-making quick, his pre-snap ability, or I shouldn't say pre-snap, pre-line of scrimmage. I kind of evaluate running backs pre-line of scrimmage, post-line of scrimmage. Pre-line of scrimmage, there's a lot of things you can do in terms of reading, your footwork, your steps, staying on track, and then bursting through the hole. And then afterwards, it's making someone miss. It's how hard do you run? How smart are you? How, you know, picking up yardage, aware of the first down marker. So for me, I thought Joe Mixon's excellent pre-line of scrimmage coming out of college. He's only shown that, I think, with a poor offensive line his first 2 years. So I think as the scheme gets simplified, as effective as we've seen it be for the LA Rams, it's only going to fit Mixon so well. So I'm going back, I'm watching tape. I'm picking out plays that are specific to the Rams that they've run. I'm going to diagram those. I'm going to show some that Joe Mixon either didn't have the same opportunity because of the scheme, or that, because they did do a lot of it too. There are a lot of times where I could say, oh man, Cordy Glenn last year, 2018, he isn't trying to wall off. He isn't trying to seal that defensive end inside. He's pushing him to the boundary, and it's allowing Mixon to have a big run. So it was a mixed bag. It's definitely not as conclusive as the Rams were definitely doing it. When you watch the Rams, you're like, yep, that's exactly what they're doing. Taylor does a great job of breaking it down and really showing what they should be doing. And then, like I said, the jet sweep stuff and how it'll fit John Ross. So I've got a lot coming out there. I hope I broke that down well enough. I hope that I was able to visualize it in your head of what the differences are and how they're going to be effective. I think this is going to help Billy Price. I think it's going to be a good thing to put Cordy Glenn inside at guard, even though I've got my reservations about him in pass protection there because he's going to play a little too high. He always has. And it's going to hurt in the run game if you play a little too high also. But what that does is on the right side now, it's going to be John Miller and Bobby Hart. They're basically, because the Rams ran weak side to the left a lot last year. And if you go just type in Todd Gurley, like I said, Game Pass earlier, NFL.com/Game Pass. Type in Todd Gurley, big plays. A lot of his runs are going to be to the left on this exact play I just talked about. So on the right side there, they're cut blocking or they're pushing or they're getting guys out of there. And in combination with the jet sweep motion, it gets an extra guy out of the box so much. So often Todd Gurley's running 8 yards before he even has to get to the unblocked defender, which even if he doesn't make a miss, it's an 8-yard gain. So I think it's going to be an awesome fit. And it's really the biggest reason, or the biggest, I'd say, sure thing that I feel good about this offense is that Joe Mixon will carry this offense. And it doesn't have to be that way, but I do think he will. I think, because I do think there's a good chance that Dalton's a great fit. And then because of it, the receivers are being used correctly and having successful, really good years. So if that happens, I feel really good about it. But that's the thing. I think Joe Mixon is going to be the front runner of this team, the one guy that I believe will be looked at around the league much differently after this year. But he's got to prove it, and he's got to do it. And he also has to stay healthy because he never really carried the load in Oklahoma either or in Cincinnati now in 2 years. So that'll be the big thing as they ride him. But that's my analysis on Mixon, the run game. I'm going to have it all written down with videos and breakdowns. So if this wasn't easy to follow, you'd be able to do that on The Athletic. Hopefully I have that out within the next week. It's got some tuning to do. The videos take some time to make. But that's what we have today. I'm going to have a little shorter podcast today as it's just me. But make sure you check us out via our sponsors, whether that's the Himalaya app for podcasts. Just you guys going to that and giving it a shot, it helps out the podcast for, being a sponsor for us. And also Grip6Hotels.com, Blue Chew. You guys go there, and even if you click around on their website, they'll know it, and it'll help us out and keep us employed and being paid, which is a good thing. It's a good motivator to want to do. To want to do more and to keep the podcast going. So with that, take care. We will see you tomorrow. It'll be Jake and Joe back together again on the Locked On Bengals podcast.